Well, as we've already looked at this morning, we live in a dark world. It is a world filled with things like human trafficking, where fathers are encouraged to walk away from their children, so are mothers. It is a world filled with greed, with hatred, with strife, with lust, filled with people who disrespect authority, disrespect their own parents. They dishonor each other. They are self-seeking. They don't even care to know their own neighbors. We live in a dark world. And we understand as Christians, we've seen the light of Christ come into this world. And I, like you, so desperately want to show the light of Christ to this dead and dying world. And I find that I cannot. I am not strong enough. I don't have enough willpower. I don't have the same reach that other people do. I don't have the popularity. And you're in the same place. We live in this dark, fallen, sick world. And we've understood the light of Christ, and we so desperately want to live like Jesus did so that people can see what he's all about, and they can see the light of his glory breaking into this dark world, and yet we find we cannot. How can we show people the light of God? How can we live like Jesus did? How can we live like Jesus? It's an utterly impossible task. It is, because if you're anything like me, you have these sins and you have these idiosyncrasies, which are actually sins. It's a nice way of saying that. Personality quirks, sins, that keep hammering you time and time again. I am so cynical. I'm so cynical. Well, cynicism's not a sin. It is sometimes. I'm so cynical about everything. Everything. Well, it's just a product of your generation. Yeah, okay, but it's still, I'm so cynical about everything. Hey, well, it's not a big deal. It is a big deal because I truly do believe Jesus died for our sins and rose again. And the worst thing that could ever possibly happen to me will not happen because I'm in Christ. And not only that, but I believe that Jesus is coming again to redeem this dark world and to change everything and make everything new. I should be the most hopeful person in the world. Ah, cynicism. You see where it's a problem with me? I don't know what your pet sins are. I don't know what your habitual sins are. But how can we live like Jesus? It's utterly impossible. As we turn back to the first epistle of the Apostle John, if you have your Bibles, open up to 1 John chapter 1, starting in verse 5. If you don't have a Bible, feel free to use one of those red chairback Bibles. They're queued up. And as always, if you don't own a Bible and you like a Bible, feel free to take one of those red chairback Bibles home with you. Read it. It's our gift to you. We want you to get in the Word of God and the Word of God to get into you. 1 John chapter 5, John is speaking to Christians. He's speaking to the church. Verse 5, read along in your Bibles. He says, "Now this is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light, and there is absolutely no darkness in him. If we say we have fellowship with him, yet we walk in darkness, we are lying and not practicing the truth. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we do not have sin, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, I am writing you these things so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the whole world." So, John, he starts it off and he says, look, fellow Christians, we declare to you what we've always declared, God is light. What does that mean? The question I almost began with is, how can we walk in the light as God is in the light? How can we live like God? The word walk throughout the Bible usually means how you live. It characterizes your life. It's not just a one-moment event. It's how you live. When I was a physical therapy major, they taught us, one of the major things physical therapists do is they watch how people walk. And they trained us to do it so well, I still do it to this day. I can't help it. You know, so sometimes I'm in my office and I see people coming in, I'm like, oh, what happened to that person? Like, what's going on? Like, I'm seeing how people are walking. I'm like, stop it, Nathan. You're not a doctor. You don't even play one on TV. Come on, stop it. But it when you watch how someone walks, it characterizes who they are physically. Well, in the same way, it's a metaphor for how we live our lives. What characterizes you? Are you walking in light or are you walking in darkness? And when he says God is light, it's a wonderful metaphor. It means so many different things. God is light. He is beautiful. He is beauty in this ugly world. God is light. He reveals the truth. He reveals the truth about reality, the way the world really works and really is. He reveals the truth about yourself and about how you really are and your current standing and your identity. It's more than that. Light means moral excellence. He's perfectly good. If you ever wonder if there's good and what is good, you look to God. He's light. He's beautiful. He's morally excellent. He's good. He's perfect. He's true. He's truth. And here John starts off and he says, look, God is light. There's absolutely no darkness in him. And he talks about salvation here negatively. He says, if you say you have fellowship with God, if you say you know you have fellowship with God, but you walk in darkness, you don't really know God. Now, he's not saying if you've sinned, and that's where this gets confusing for us as we go down here. You're like, wait, but John, you just said no. He's saying if your life is characterized by sin, by ugliness, by meanness, by nastiness, by hatreds, by envies, by greed, by gossip, by lusts, if that's what your life is characterized and there's no light in you at all, if there's no beauty, if there's no grace, if there's no mercy, he said, you don't know God. You don't know God. Because to know God is to have God the Holy Spirit to come and dwell within you. It's to have Jesus Christ transform your heart and bring light into a dark place. So he says, look, verse 7, he says, but if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus His Son cleanses us from all sins. If we walk in the light, as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. This is why I keep saying, and I will continue to say, can you be a Christian apart from the church? Kinda, sorta, yeah, I guess, technically. Not a very strong one. Because here Johnny said, you have to have fellowship with each other. Iron sharpens iron. We grow together. We see Christ working in and through us in relationship. We grow closer to Christ together. The church is the bride of Christ, for crying out loud. We have to belong in community with Him. But He says, look, the blood of His Son cleanses us from all sins. But lest you say, hey, we have light and we've reached sinless perfection. No. If you say, He's talking to Christians here. So He talked about salvation briefly negatively. Like if we walk in darkness and our whole life is characterized by sin and filling our own appetite and our own wants, needs, and desires instead of outward reaching to others and to glorify God, you don't really know Him. But now He's talking about Christians and about how we live. And who we are, He says in verse 8, if we say we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from our unrighteousness. If we say we don't have sin, we make Him a liar. And John understands he's teetering on the edge here. My little children, I'm writing you these things so that you may not sin. So he's not saying, okay, so Jesus will forgive you your sins. Ah. Don't, you know, so go ahead, do whatever you want. No. He said, I'm writing to you these things so that you don't sin, so that you walk in light, so that you live the way God wants you to live, so you live like Jesus lived. But if you do sin, we have an advocate before the Father, Christ Jesus, the righteous one. He himself is a propitiation for our sins. Propitiation is a technical word. Jesus took our place on the cross. He paid the penalty we should have paid for our sins. Not only for ours, but for those of the whole world. Jesus came to die so that the whole world might be saved if they believe in Him. How can we live like Jesus? Again, I wanted to ask the question, how can we walk in the light? Well, what does that mean? Right? How can we live like God? God is light and there's absolutely no darkness. Well, if I said that, how can we live like God? You all would have been like, well, like make universes and stuff and like, you know, to create like cool animals like the platypus. Because I got some dinosaurs I want to bring back to, no. No. But Jesus reveals God's character. And when I say, how can we live like Jesus? Ah, I understand that. He is light embodied in a way we understand. How can we live like Jesus? It's impossible. Utterly impossible. But John here, he says, look, we can live like Jesus lives when we confess our sins to Him. We can live like Jesus lived when we confess our sins over and over and over again. Yes, salvation is a point in time where you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and then God the Holy Spirit comes in, gives you a new heart, transforms you, changes you, your dark heart's gone, the light of Christ has come in. It is one point, but it doesn't stop there. Now we move towards sanctification, becoming more like God, less of like ourselves, our sinful selves. And we have to over and over and over confess our sins as we make them. If it's the same sin, you keep confessing it, no matter how tiring it gets. If it is new sins that pop up all over the place on the map, then you continue to confess your sins. We can live like Jesus when we humble ourselves and confess our sins over and over. Then we will walk in the light. It's kind of like this. Scott, go ahead and turn off the lights. I feel sorry for the deacons. I told them, all right, if you guys can take down all the Christmas decorations, and then all of a sudden the Advent candle comes back. This is the world we live in. We live in a world of darkness, an absolute, complete, and utter darkness. But we repent of our sins and believe that Jesus died on the cross and rose again. Bless you. And when that happens, the light of Christ is now working within us. And it's an amazing thing. It's awesome. And so we go, ha ha, look, I've seen the light. I'm no longer in darkness. I see the beauty of Christ. I see the beauty of the world that he wants to show us. It's amazing. I could never go back to the other way. I could never live in darkness again. The light is wonderful. Light is beautiful. Thank God that Jesus saved me. I sinned. So what do? We go back and we say, Jesus, I've sinned. I confess my sins to you. Please forgive me. And what does he do? He rekindles the flame. It starts again. What John's mostly talking about here, he's not talking about salvation, he's talking about our walk. And I think far too often as Christians, we go and we say, I accepted Jesus, I accepted Christ, it's awesome, I'm doing wonderful, I have the light of God. And then we say, and we're like, I sinned. Well, I'm still saved, and you are. But there's this arrogance, or this ignorance maybe, where we just won't go back to Christ and say, yeah, I messed up. I confess my sins. And so we do it over and over and over again. And again, he's forgiven me my sins. This is great. I will not, booger. Again. Okay, Jesus, I'm so sorry. I confess my sins. I won't do that again. Please help me. Give me the strength. Yep. Oh, come on. I didn't even walk away from the candle this time. Jesus, I confess my sins. He keeps doing it over and over and over again. And the purpose and the point of that is this is what happens. And this is why if you are so frustrated, like, man, I have to go to him like 5 times a day and confess my sins. Good. Good. Because oftentimes us as Christians, we think, I have this sin and I can't overcome it. I have this addiction. I can't overcome it. I continue to sin. I continue to have greed. I continue to lust. I continue to hate. I continue to be unkind to the people that I should be kind to. I treat people like garbage instead of being made in the image of God. And I'm so tired of confessing over and over again. You know what that does when you confess over and over again? It humbles you. It makes you realize you cannot stop sinning on your own. It makes you realize that you don't have enough willpower to stop doing that sin. For crying out loud, I don't have enough willpower when I open up a 3-pound bag of Twizzlers not to eat. Guess how many pounds of Twizzlers? You guessed it, 3 pounds! But let's talk about real stuff. I don't have it within me to stop being cynical. Even when I know in my heart of hearts that Christ Jesus is coming again and will make all things new and eternity is currently breaking into the world. So every time we sin, We come back. Jesus, I repent. I confess my sins to you, and the blood of Jesus purifies us from all unrighteousness. Over and over and over again. You can get the lights. That's the image John's giving us. How can you walk in the light? By over and over and over again confessing your sins. And John says it. He says, look, I'm writing to you so that you don't sin. I'm writing these things so that you may not sin, but if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Christ Jesus, the righteous one. You can go to him over and over and over again, and we have to. I hope some of you are here and you are absolutely sick and tired of confessing the same sin over and over and over again, and I hope God the Holy Spirit is encouraging you and saying, good, keep doing it, and realize you don't have the willpower to stop sinning, because you don't. Some of you might be here and object to this and say, you know, I've been a Christian for a long time. And I'll say, Pastor, I can't think of anything that I've done that I need to confess on a regular basis, or, you know, maybe once a month. But I can't really think of any sins that I've committed. Well, first of all, the thing that you should do is, you know, confess to God your arrogance, and say, hey, I don't know you. I obviously don't know what's going on in my heart. Can you please reveal that to me? Because here's the thing. And we see this in the Apostle Paul, all throughout his epistles. The further away you are from Christ, the more holy you think you are, typically, right? You know, I'm good. I don't need Jesus. I don't need anything. Okay, so you come to Christ, and you go, ah, that's great. And, you know, I'm doing so good, and all the old things I used to do is great. But the closer you get to him, the more he reveals your sin. God, in his grace, when we come to faith in Christ, it's like a dimmer switch. When we come to faith in Christ for the first time, it's like he turns the dimmer switch on. And he doesn't put it on full blast. It's just a little bit. But you've never seen light before. So it's like, ah! You're like, oh, this sin, Lord, help me. And he helps you clean it up. Right? And then as you get closer to him, he turns the dimmer switch up a little bit. And what you thought was a clean room, all of a sudden you realize, like, wait a minute, there's still garbage all over the floor. And so you're like, you know, you pick up the garbage with God, and you get that out, and you're like, ah, and you get closer to Christ, and you become more like him, and then he turns the dimmer switch up just a little bit more, and you're like, ah, the surface is all disgusting, and it's filled, you know, it's dusty and dirty, and I got to clean that up. Lord, help me to clean this up. The closer you are to Christ, at the end of Paul's life, Paul said, I am the chief of all sinners. I'm the worst of all sinners. Like, really, you, Paul? Yeah. Because the closer you get to Christ, the more you realize you need him. And so if you're here and you're thinking, yeah, I don't have anything, say to God the Holy Spirit, Lord, reveal my heart. Jesus, reveal my heart to me. Show me the wicked ways that I walk. And he will. And guess what? The wrong thing for you to do is say, well, I'm not going to do that anymore. The right thing for you to do is say, Lord Jesus, I repent. Help me to no longer sin. And he will. He's strong where you're weak. How can we live like Jesus? We can live like Jesus by confessing our sins to him. Over and over and over again, you keep doing it because it keeps us humble and it makes us realize that you can't do it on your own. You need his strength. We live in this world of darkness, like I said. Imagine that we lived in this absolute, completely dark world. There is no sun in the sky. There is no moon. There is no electricity. You're going to have to find a new job. I'm sorry. There's nothing. There's no light whatsoever. And you accept Christ, and all of a sudden, I'm going to use this candle because I don't want to, you know, burn the place down. You're welcome. I just saved all of your lives. You're not nearly as grateful as you should be. So imagine all you have is this candle. You accept Christ. All you have is the light, this light. And imagine it's a candle that never, like, fades out, right? So it's an eternal candle. So you have this candle, and it's the only light you have because we as Christians, we understand that we truly do have the only light this world has to offer, and that is the light of Christ. So imagine you're walking through this dark world with no light, no electricity, nothing except for this candle. Why would you ever blow it out? Why? You'd be stupid to do it. You'd be dumb. Two words I'm not supposed to say in front of my children. But you really would be stupid and dumb if you blew this candle out. It's the only light you have. Whew. That's what sin is. That's what sin is. And it is so human. It is so normal for us to do. It is dumb. We think, ah, oh, I like the darkness better. I can play tag in there and scare my brother. I don't know. Like, we're just so dumb. Why in the world would we blow out the candle? But fortunately, God doesn't work the way the rest of the world does. He's faithful and just. He will restore us every time. And the light of Christ burns bright. This is not about losing your salvation. That's not what John's talking about. That is certainly not what I'm talking about. This is your walk with Christ. This is allowing the light of Christ to shine through you. And when we sin and we're stuck in our habitual sins, you're still saved. You've put a barrier between you and God in your relationship. You're still his child. But, you know, when my child yells and screams at me and, like, takes my comic books and rips them up in front of my face and starts screaming and yelling and hits her brother, right, and all that stuff, like, still my kid. We got problems. We got problems. Time to discipline you so you don't do that anymore, right? This isn't about your salvation. This is about your walk with him. How can you live like Jesus? You can't. It's impossible. But you can when he lives in you. And you do that by confessing your sins over and over again. You can live like Jesus when you confess your sins to him. And then the blood of his son purifies you. Take your candle to Jesus. Let's pray. Father, I pray for this congregation. We all desperately need Jesus Christ. We are lost without him. Father, I pray that in this moment we confess our sins to you. I confess my sins before you. We have so gone astray. And yet, as your children, as believers in Christ, you restore us time and time again. I pray that we as a church will be people who humble ourselves before you so often and so regularly that the light of Christ burns bright and that people will see that Christ dwells in his church by the love of his people. Father, this is hard. This is impossible. So I pray for those who are here who have to confess their sins and they feel like it's too often. I pray that you will encourage them that yes, they are weak, but you are strong and you will hold them up. Pray for those who are here who claim to be without sin. That, Lord, you will humble them also so that they might in due time confess their sins and be transformed and get closer and closer to Jesus Christ. I pray that the world, when they see all of us in this room operate, they can see the light of Christ and they can know there is a God in heaven by the love that we share. It is in the powerful and awesome and mighty and perfect name of Jesus we pray. Amen.